number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty act. Lay the down. Smack on jack.
Nighttime is the right time. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
We die, we die together.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive, recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio.
Is now.
Oh, got to be.
This is what we do.
From the Quick and Loan Studios, here's Tony D.
No, Rodney Harrison, there is no quarterback controversy in Denver. Not yet, anyway. Not yet. I think we still need a few more games under the belt of Brock Osweiler before you start making that assessment. But nevertheless, I digress. He was pretty good against the Chicago Bears. Most important thing, no interceptions. Did not turn the ball over. Threw two touchdowns and the Broncos win as they try to find out if this backup quarterback is going to be the answer to a team that is going to be heading into the postseason. And what do they do with Peyton Manning? I want to know this. How hurt is Peyton Manning? Because I just saw earlier tonight that he's trying to make a comeback and that Gary Kubiak is being mum on whether or not he's going to play against the Patriots. Now, stop me if you've heard this before. I thought he had the foot injury that was going to keep him out for a while. What, is he going to go out there with crutches on? Don't you have that plantar fasciitis, whatever it is? What, doesn't that take a couple of weeks? You don't just overcome that in a week, do you? Especially at 39 years old. So, nevertheless, I think the Denver Broncos are a football team that today got a pretty good answer into what they want as a quarterback. A guy that is mobile, a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, a guy that's got a cannon for an arm, that makes good decisions, seems to be mature enough in those situations to not make mistakes. But is he Peyton Manning of old? Of course not. He doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be. He just has to be good enough. And that's all the Denver Broncos need. They just need somebody better than a guy that was throwing 17 interceptions so far. That was my main, like when it was on today, I said, that's the game I want to watch because this is the answer. I had two overriding questions in the early games. How good would Tony Romo look? And would Brock Osweiler be efficient enough for the Denver Broncos? And they both, okay. I mean, Romo had some rust. He threw two picks and, but he still made plenty of plays in a game against the Dolphins. And Osweiler was very, very good. I mean, for a backup in his first start, he was very good. So I think Denver is in pretty good hands. 800-777-2907 as we continue to talk about Week 11 in the National Football League, where teams are heading. The Indianapolis Colts go on the road and get a win. Houston stays at home and gets a win. And now that AFC South may be picking up a little bit of momentum, just a little bit. I just don't remember when we were ready to bury it. We were like, oh my God, this is going to be a mess. Well, they got two teams now at 500. Hopefully they can continue to play well enough so we don't have another 7-9 team make the playoffs. So with both Indianapolis and Houston at 5-5, maybe we won't happen. I did talk earlier tonight about the NASCAR race that was on. That was the finals, was won by Kyle Busch. He was one of four drivers competing for the championship, and he was able to emerge victorious. I don't know if you, Adam, if you caught this, but did you turn on Sunday Night Football and see that there was about 87 laps to go?
Yeah, I saw something.
In the race?
Yes.
Okay, so I go on Twitter because I'm curious as to see how people are reacting to, hey, Sunday Night Football is on, or the pregame is supposed to be on, and the NASCAR race is going on. And by the way, kudos for NBC for keeping it on because, you know, that's a big race. It's the championship race. And to have told those fans that they had to be moved to a channel many of them couldn't find if you begged them to, I thought was, you know, would have been just a big black eye to the sport. Stay with the championship race. Stay with it to the end. Figure out something later. But I went on Twitter and it was hilarious. People were saying things like, people in Cincinnati trying to calculate how long 86 laps is going to take. One guy tweeted, please go faster. I've got a football game to watch. Please go faster. They're going like 200 miles an hour. I mean, it was great over and over again. Hey, what's this? What am I watching? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I thought this was supposed to be the NFL. People lost their minds. You're not going to miss the NFL. The NFL Sunday night game isn't going to win anywhere. All right. You're not going to catch it, you know, in the second quarter because a NASCAR race was going on. They're going to make amends to cover Sunday night football. But I thought NBC did a pretty good job of holding on and getting that race done and leaving it on the channel. It's for those who watch it, it's a big deal. I mean, it's the biggest race of the year. They can make it work. I know they got caught in a rain delay and those things stink. Man, I tell you, they had a rain delay, what, in Phoenix, and they ran the race at night. You're supposed to run in the afternoon. They ran it at night. Those are the breaks that you get sometimes. But they, you know, they got everything in. It was fine. But people were just going crazy, which is always going to happen. But earlier tonight, I was talking about how, all right, so Kyle Busch wins this race, and I'm glad, thank you to Steven, who kind of helped me figure this out. Kyle Busch had missed 11 races due to an injury and got a waiver to compete for the championship, which I think is fine. I have no problems with that. I know some people didn't like the fact that he got a waiver, but I think that's more just to be nitpicky. So they gave a waiver saying, because the rule is you have to race in every single points race in order to be eligible for the championship. Well, he missed 11 because he had a broken leg, and they gave him a waiver. Well, they've given other drivers waivers. The intent of the rule was not to hurt a driver due to injury. But my point is that if you're going to have this kind of rule, there doesn't seem to be, to me, it just doesn't seem to, I don't see any need for you to have it. Yes, you could have a driver win a race and then decide to skip other races, but make that a team problem. Don't make that your problem, right? Just make that a team issue. If that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. They don't get any money. They don't get any spot. You let the sponsors take care of it and whatnot. I just don't see the need to have this one rule that says you got to race. You should just say, here's the real rule. The rule isn't that you have to race in every points event to run in the championship. No, the rule is you're not allowed to skip races without a medical excuse. Just reword it, because the way it's worded now, it makes it sound like, no, for the integrity of the championship, you have to be in every single race. Okay, a guy missed 11 and he was injured. Well, he was injured. Okay, that's fine. But the rule states that he has to be in every points race. All right, but we're going to give him a waiver. Then another guy gets an eye injury. He gets a waiver. And then Tony Stewart has a problem where there's an accident and a driver dies and he's taking time off to deal with that. And it's a tragic situation. He gets a waiver. And all of these are very, very legitimate. And I totally agree with all of them, because in the end, it's a show. And in the end, you put the best show on that you possibly can. But then reword the rule, because the rule is meant to have some sort of level of integrity. But if you're just going to say, well, we're giving an exception to this, exception to this, exception to this, then the rule doesn't carry that much weight. So just change the rule. Just say, you're not allowed to skip races without a valid excuse, without a valid medical reason. That's it. You can't just skip it because you don't want to. You can't just skip it because you don't like that track. You can't just skip it because where your car is or whatever the reasons are. You just can't skip it. That makes more sense. Because when you lay something down that sounds like there's some sort of some level of integrity, then you just keep lessening that in every waiver that you give, even if the waiver is extremely excusable. You know, it's similar if you have a speed limit that says, you know, you can't go over 40, and everybody that goes over 40, you pull over, and every one of them's got a legitimate excuse. Well, I'm late for work. Okay, well then you can go over 40. Well, I'm late for school. Well, then you can go over 40. Well, I got a medical issue. I'm trying to get to the hospital as quickly as I can. Okay, you can go over 40. And then the next guy goes, I just wasn't looking at my speedometer. Well, then you get a ticket. You have this rule that's in place. Either dump it, enforce it, or change it. And I'm leaning on changing it, because again, you're a show. And that's it. Your entertainment, there is no higher level of auto racing integrity that you have to abide by. It's your show. It's your product. You want the best drivers in the product? Wave them. Wave the rule. Make it so that they all can run. That's great. more entertainment for the fans. And those who gripe, those who are griping, I think it has more to do with Kyle Busch winning than anything else. I don't think they're trying to uphold some of the integrity of NASCAR. I think they just don't like who won. You know, that's the way drivers are. The people who love them, love them. People who don't like them, not only don't like them, but gripe and moan about them. You see it with a lot of times with other sports as well. All right, 800-777-2907. You want to get in the conversation on the NFL? We're going to get into the college game coming up next because the AP poll is out. Will it mirror what people in the college football playoff committee are thinking? We'll talk about that next on Yahoo Sports Radio.
This is Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Working the third shift.
This is Tony D.
Once again, from the Quicken Loans Studios, here's Tony D.
All right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, Tuesday is when the playoff committee is going to release its findings on a really wild weekend in college football where Ohio State lost to Michigan State. We got a couple of shakeups. Oklahoma State also lost, losing to Baylor. So what are they going to do with Oklahoma that's rising up? Notre Dame didn't look all that impressive. They still love Alabama. What do they do with Michigan State? We're going to find out Tuesday. Now, first of all, the Ohio State game. I was a little disappointed in Ezekiel Elliott. I thought he was right. I was a little disappointed in Ohio State. It seemed to me like this was the game we've been waiting for with this Buckeyes team. Was it not? This game where when push comes to shove, how good really are they? Listen, I've been saying all year, I think Ohio State was a great team that was given a lot of the benefit of the doubt for being the national champs and the incredible talent that they had. But too many times, there was so much mystery surrounding this team that, one, you shouldn't have been all that surprised that Michigan State was able to win. And I'm not surprised that Michigan State won. I was kind of surprised how Ohio State did lose this game. I don't think I got the best Buckeye effort, and they were beaten by a team that just gave them better effort. I think Urban Meyer kind of failed the team a little bit.
He really failed the team. That was a horrible game plan.
Really bad game plan. And I think Ezekiel Elliott is right in that he only got 12 carries, and I know he was like ill at the beginning of the week and whatnot, but JT Barrett should not have more rushing attempts than Ezekiel Elliott in this game, especially in a game that was kind of wet, nasty, and the running game was going to be all important. Ohio State did not look anything like a team that we've been given the credit for all year. And again, didn't seem like it was just, hey, that's the best effort they got and they lost. I think this one haunts the Buckeyes for a while because this is keeping them out of the playoff.
It really looked like Ohio State didn't want to run the ball with Elliott and they wanted to throw the ball, but it didn't look like JT Barrett wanted to throw the ball, so he just ran every time.
Yeah, it was a good point. Conditions looked too nasty to
well,
be
thrown. Yeah, it was pouring and it was cold.
The Michigan State kid Kings, who badly fielded that punt,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was all wind and wet and rain and trying to do something special. And next thing you know, Ohio State's got the ball at the two. It's terrible weather. So now that Michigan State is climbing up, a couple of thoughts on this. One, you can't move Michigan State up over Iowa. Iowa is now your team in the Big Ten right now. Iowa is your team. If you like that conference, you like what they're doing, Iowa's your team. Second, you screw over Oklahoma, do so. If you want to screw over Oklahoma, do so. But you can't if they beat Oklahoma State. You can't. Notre Dame, I know it's Fenway Park. I know it's Boston College. I know it's the Northeast this time of year, but they did not look good.
No.
They did not look good. How many points, quote unquote, are they going to get taken off the board for that? I don't know. Here's the other thing too. Nick Saban, Charleston Southern was not a threat. Stop pretending like it was going to be. Stop pitching to the committee this insane idea that Charleston Southern had every chance in the world to beat you in Tuscaloosa. And just by the grace of God, you were able to get by the mighty Buccaneers from the low country.
Hey, I told you.
Stop this.
I told you before the show or during one of the breaks, the SEC Network, they made sure to put Charleston Southern's ranking from Division II.
Oh,
they put it up there. They had so it looked like it was 2 versus 8 in the country. That's what it looked like on the scoreboard on the TV.
I can only imagine them sitting at their desks at the SEC Network going, I know a lot of people don't know this, but Charleston Southern is one of the top teams in run defense in FCS. Did you know that? No, I did not know that. Oh, yes, they're fine. Oh, stop. Gag, gag, gag. Look, Alabama doesn't have to... Why? What is Alabama worried about?
All they got to do is win.
Just win.
And they should. Auburn's bad. Florida's obviously bad.
If you lose to Auburn in the Iron Bowl, you're not going to the playoff.
If you lose either of these games, you're not going.
If you lose to the Florida Gators in the SEC title game, you're not going to the playoff. Win both of them, and you're getting in. The Charleston Southern game has nothing to do with whether or not you're going to the playoff or not. Nothing. You don't gain anything by winning, and you have everything to lose by losing, but that's it. It has nothing to... Beating them by 100 doesn't make the committee go, well, you know, they lost to Auburn to close out the season, but they did beat Charleston Southern by 100, and we know how hard that is to do. It's irrelevant. Beat Auburn, go to Atlanta, take care of business. You're in. You're not going to be more in. You're not going to be. You're not going to get an extra spot. They love you. Are you kidding? The committee is in love with Alabama right now.
Right now, I think Clemson, Bama, Iowa, and Michigan State. If any of those, all those teams win out, they're in. Obviously, Iowa and Michigan State would play each other, so they'll figure each other out. And then, like you said, if OU beats Oklahoma State. In my opinion, they're in.
Notre Dame went out?
If OU wins, they're in over Notre Dame.
Notre Dame can't get in if OU wins.
Yes.
Can't. I like Notre Dame, and I understand and I respect what the committee's trying to do with them. But here's been my problem, and I said this last week. The committee, if they're starting to show a little favoritism, and I don't mean favoritism in the bad way, meaning we like this team for this main reason. They can manipulate the rankings enough to prove the point. If there's something about Notre Dame they really, really, really like, they'll start bumping Stanford. After the win against Cal, they'll bump Stanford. Right? They'll just move Stanford up a little bit so that when Notre Dame beats them, if Notre Dame beats them, then they'll go, see, we told you this whole time how good they were.
Do you think Baylor has any chance? If they win and Oklahoma State beats OU... And Notre Dame doesn't look that great against Stanford or loses.
Yes, but it's going to take a world. It's going to take an avalanche. It's going to take a lot, but they still got a shot.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. A friend of mine just sent me a message saying that the final penalty yards in that Bears Broncos game is 118-0. 118 penalty yards for the Broncos. The Bears still lose by 2. Ugh. Why do I get the funny feeling that's a very warped statistic? John Fox. I still like John Fox, by the way. All right. I found the football equivalent to, remember, you know what I was saying earlier about that NASCAR rule that needs to be like changed?
Yeah.
Just change it. The NFL has a similar rule, and it occurred today in the Baltimore Ravens St. Louis Rams game. Did you see Case Keenum hit the ground and then could not get up?
I actually tweeted right after it. How is he still in the game?
Yes. If you have a concussion protocol, you either follow it or you don't follow it, but don't pretend like you have this real handle on the concussion protocol, because you don't. Case Keenum's head slammed on the turf, and he could barely get up. And then when he did get up, he was wobbly. Then he got his bearings. Then he proceeded to turn the ball over. And at no point did the officials at the game who are supposed to be monitoring this, who have the authority to stop the game at any time, to get a player who banged his head and appears to be wobbly or concussed off the field. Nobody made any move to do that in that game. You either have this or you don't have this. I do not, and for the life of me, understand this. I mean, it's either in play or it's not. And Keenum looked, I'm sorry, he looked like he just needed to take a break.
Well, isn't there a guy that's sitting up top, like an official or a doctor or somebody that's looking for these hits?
Yes.
And I mean, to not see this is ridiculous. Now,
I just saw last week 60 Minutes was doing a report on this. And I love 60 Minutes to death, but it was clearly a piece to allow the NFL to explain every single thing about its concussion protocol so that you, the viewer out there, could get a better understanding on how serious the NFL treats head trauma. And what they said that in every single NFL game, there are people trained in this who have the ability to stop a game and get attention to a player that they feel is suffering from a concussion, that show the signs of head trauma or something, you know, dizziness or whatnot. That certainly looked to me on my television that Case Keenum was not his self for a few seconds there.
His old lineman tried to pick him up and he basically just,
yeah,
he was limp. He couldn't even do anything.
Fell back down, yeah. Went right back down. And Nick Foles ran to get his helmet.
Yep.
And so I'm thinking, oh, God, they're going to get him out of this game. Or I have full faith that the NFL people would do the right thing and get him out of the game. Wrong.
Well, not only that, his coaches.
No. Yeah, Jeff Fisher didn't say, oh, we got to get my boy out of there.
I mean, obviously Nick Foles saw it, so everybody else on the sideline had to see it. How do you not be like, you say something to the official, you'd be like, hey, you know, he hit his head, blah, you know, whatever you got to say to stop the clock and, you know, go from there. But
yeah, so here's my problem with this. If I'm watching Peter Berg's HBO segment on this, or if I'm watching 60 Minutes on this, or I'm watching anybody who is doing research into how the NFL is dealing with this, and then I see that, what's my takeaway? What am I supposed to think? A quarterback, look, this wasn't a very slight judgment call on my point where it's like, it could go either way, you know. He couldn't get up for a second. He looked terrible. The coaching staff or Nick Foles thought he was going to be going in. The announcers thought that there was something wrong. They showed it in slow motion of the back of his head just pounded onto the ground. Yet he stays in the game and he turns the ball over and the Ravens kick the field goal. Win the game. Told you. St. Louis Rams, whether it's Nick Foles or Case Keenum, I don't know what they're going to do. The Rams are now like 4-6 now. Jeff Fisher. So that's the guy I'm telling you. He is mediocre. He is mediocre. He's not going to get you anywhere. He took the Titans to one Super Bowl, had Steve McNair, and they made a few playoffs. None of that. Tell me where he's developing the right offense for this team, or tell me where he's developing a team that is suddenly competitive. He had all the time in the world in Tennessee to get back to that Super Bowl. He has all the time in the world in St. Louis to try to turn that situation around. What, another 8-8 season, Jeff? I mean, this defense that was so highly touted doesn't come with an offense. I mean, now you have Todd Gurley. Don't screw him up, please. When you move to Los Angeles, don't mess that up. 4-6, 1-4 on the road. Trade for Nick Foles. And listen, it's one thing when a coach says, we have the guy we want at quarterback, or we're really excited about this acquisition. You know, we traded for this player or whatnot, and the player doesn't work out. That's fine. That happens. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But when Nick Foles and Sam Bradford changed teams, almost universal, it was, boy, nobody really got the better end of that deal. Just swapping, for, And I had to believe, I have to still believe that Chip Kelly and Jeff Fisher knew it. That there was something else that they were trying to do, maybe shred some salary, maybe get trade bait going, who knows. But when Chip Kelly was trying to, Chip Kelly especially, was trying to pitch the Sam Bradfords, our quarterback long-term going forward, he was lying. There's no way he was telling the truth. But maybe he was, because in the end, maybe he believed that his system would work with anybody. Maybe he really did believe that. But I had my doubts on that trade for both teams. And now Bradford's hurt again, and the Rams are, and the Rams don't use Nick Foles, and Bradford's not being used in Philadelphia due to injury, and both teams are 4-6 and look terrible. Ugh. The Ravens get a nice win to try to keep their season going along through to the end now that they won't have Joe Flacco to finish out the season with. Now, it's a tough injury for a tough team in Baltimore. 800-777-2907. Looking through the games, though, on Sunday, I'm trying to find ones that really kind of stood out and made a mark. I know the Dallas game made a mark because Romo's coming back. Denver game made a mark because Brock Osweiler was effective enough to give the Broncos a win without Peyton Manning. Indianapolis and Houston make you want to believe that there's something special going on with the rest of those teams. Carolina rolled over the Washington Redskins to a point of embarrassment that they had to dump away from the broadcast of that game to give you something more exciting. And San Diego didn't show up at all.
You know who is exactly the team I thought they were the entire time? It was the New York Jets.
New York Jets, that stock is really plummeting right now.
They're just not that good.
Second week in a row, Todd Bowles really doesn't look like doesn't know what he's doing in various situations. Todd Bowles is going to be a learn on the job type of guy. But yeah, I drank the Kool-Aid a little bit on the Jets at the beginning of the season. They had 10 turnovers, 10 takeaways in the first two games of the season.
Yeah, and the thing with the Jets though is for Bowles to be that kind of coach, they're not built that way.
No, they're not.
They're built to win right now.
Yep.
I mean, if you think Ryan Fitzpatrick can do anything. But the rest of that team is completely built for right now.
This is the kind of games that if you have a team like the Jets, okay, that is strong defensively and whatnot, you can't go on the road, even though winning on the road is hard. The Texans had a guy that was not playing 2 weeks ago, and he threw two touchdown passes against your defense to the best receiver in the league, but nevertheless, it's coming from a guy that was unemployed 2 weeks ago. You need to go and win that game. They didn't. I do not know where the Jets are heading, but I don't think it's heading upward. By the way, Dan Campbell believes he's still in the playoff race for the Dolphins. How? Win out and go 10-6?
Good luck.
Good luck. Stop. They've lost three of their last four after setting the world on fire, winning the first two games against two of the worst teams at the time in the league. Remember, when they beat the Texans were god-awful. And the Titans are still god-awful. But since then, losses to New England, Buffalo, and Dallas, and a squeaker by over Philadelphia has been the last 4 weeks for the Miami Dolphins. They still have the Jets, Ravens, Giants, Chargers, Colts, and Patriots. Went out and go 10-6. But this again is not your year. Wake me up when it's the Miami Dolphins year. Don't tell me that in the beginning of the season. Wake me up. Because right now the playoff picture looks very, very good for Pittsburgh with 6 wins for the wild card. But now you throw in Houston, Kansas City, Bills, Jets, all with a chance for a wild card. Now, the Dolphins at 4-6 are accompanied by Jacksonville at 4-6 and Oakland at 4-6. That's just too many teams. Give me a couple of weeks, Miami, to really separate yourself before you start talking this kind of nonsense. It's like there's a playbook of things you have to say at the end of games. Oh no, we're still in it, or you know, we just had a couple of bad breaks here or there. I don't expect Dan Campbell to stand in front of a press conference and go, "Nah, we're out. Don't even bother showing up." No, of course not. But they're not playing very well. So if they want to be still in it, they've got to play much better. 800-777-2907. I'm still curious about the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Whether the Cowboys can eke out a victory over the Carolina Panthers. And what would that mean in the division? If Dallas all of a sudden is 4-7 with a win over a team that was 10-0 going into the game. Would it feel like, "Uh-oh, we've got some team that's now..." If you're the Giants, would you be worried enough to say, "Okay, uh-oh, now the Cowboys are back"? As I said earlier, the Redskins and the Eagles are trending downwards. And in a couple of weeks, it could be just the Giants and the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys with Romo are obviously a different looking team. But down the road, it's Carolina at Washington, at Green Bay, Jets, Bills, and Redskins. At Buffalo, late December is going to be a tough game. At Green Bay is going to be a tough game. Heck, one of the Redskins game is going to be a tough game. I don't know if you've got to win out and go 9-7. I don't know. Maybe 8-8 wins you the division. But if 8-8 is going to win you the division, then the Giants have to go 2-4. I don't know if the Giants go 2-4.
They have at Washington, home against the Jets, at Miami, home against Carolina, at Minnesota, home against Philly.
They're going to go better than 2-4.
Yes. I mean, they'll be favored in four games.
God, it has got to be so frustrating to look back on that seven-game stretch and not squeeze one or two wins out of that.
Yeah, if they win two.
Somewhere.
Two. That's all you need. Two.
Beat Tampa Bay, for the love of Pete.
Yeah, you lost Tampa Bay 10-6. You lost to Seattle 13-12, I believe.
Yep.
I mean, those two games right there. Neither of those teams played well, and you still lost.
What was the circumstances of the Giants game that was on the road? Didn't they have the lead, and then they gave it up?
They had a lead in, I want to say, four of the seven games later.
Oh, yeah. They led the Atlanta game three times, I believe, by two touchdowns. So, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. No, they had... they gave up the big touchdown. They gave up the big kick return, and then couldn't get anything going after that. As the Giants took the lead on a kick return in the fourth quarter. God, this is going to be funny. When we get to the playoffs, I think we're going to look back and see a couple of teams are going to go, "Oh God, God, where did that come from?"
There's a chance with the way everything is set up that we could have each conference have an 8-8 team in the playoffs.
Oh boy,
I mean, it'd be the second wild card or a division winner.
You know who's playing pretty good right now, and it just may be a little too late for them, is Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kansas City's playing some pretty good ball right now.
The defense has finally become the defense we thought they were going to be all year.
They've won four in a row. They had a stretch against Denver, Green Bay, Cincinnati, the Bears, and the Vikings. That stretch, they lost five games. That does not look that does not look bad now. Right? Broncos at the time, good. Packers, Bengals, both playing very, very well. Bears was a tough loss. Vikings are a playoff team. But after that, when they got back from London, they've been pretty solid. Beat the Steelers, the Lions, Broncos, and Chargers on the road.
Their schedule out is it's got to be one of the easier schedules out.
Yeah.
Buffalo, Oakland, San Diego, Baltimore, Cleveland, Oakland.
They play Oakland twice. They play the Raiders again, but this time at home. They play the Ravens, who will be without Joe Flacco, and they play the Browns. You're right. And the Bills.
I mean, the way they're playing right now, they could conceivably win
very
all those
good team.
Games.
Very good. Very good team. And just think about how precarious that these games this weekend could have been. If the Bears had got that victory over the Broncos, Denver's lead in that division would have only been two games.
Yeah.
but only have been two games at a time where they were flying high at 7-0 and everybody else was in the toilet. The Chiefs have rallied back to get to 5-5 and would have been only two games out had the Bears won today. 800-777-2907. You want to get your thoughts in on week 11 in the National Football League? It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on.
Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loan Studios.
And back to Tony D.
All right, glad you'd be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. 800-777-2907.
I got something for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my wife was watching the American Music Awards last night, and I walked in the room, and they were doing like a Star Wars tribute.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So,
sure.
Like, I walked in and they were showing, like, clips, I guess, from the new one.
Oh, boy. You were just like, oh, I got to see this.
Yeah. So I sat there and I was watching it and I was kind of just like, I got bored really fast. And then they played, like, some group did, like, some version of the theme song. And it started out kind of cool and I recognized it. Then, like, 10 seconds in, I'm just like, all right, this is enough. I had to get out of there and go back to Sunday Night Football. It was just like, what is going on here? Like, I don't understand these little ships flying around.
Yeah, the problem with you now is that if you wanted to get into it, it would take you a good chunk of your time to get caught up into it. I had this problem with my daughter. She was watching the Disney Channel. And Disney obviously is now bought the Star Wars thing. And so they were trying, you know, they ran a little tiny promo to try to get kids excited about the movie. And they show the characters and like the cute robot. And they did the voiceover in kind of like a kid friendly way. They're like, join so-and-so and so-and-so as they battle the force with this little robot. And I went, wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. Am I going to watch a children's movie? Is that what I'm... Am I getting all excited to watch a movie that's just appeals to, like, 10-year-olds? And then I started thinking, that's one of the reasons why I liked Star Wars. I was 8 when I watched it the first time.
Right.
And then I bought toys that were based on the movie. And that's why I liked it so much. And I'm really hoping that the story is good, and it's not just some nostalgic thing that I'm trying to gravitate towards. Right? I have this problem with when we go on vacation. I'll give an example. We have kids, so naturally when we go on vacation, we look for things that are fun for the family. One of the things that my wife and I like to take our kids, we like to go down to Florida to see her parents, and when we go, we like to go to Disney World. All right? And my wife and I love taking our kids there. Here's the problem. Every time I go, I complain about the crowds. I complain about the heat. I complain about the lines. I complain about the price. I mean, I'm just grumpy. I love to see my kids' faces. They love the park, and I'm doing it for them and whatnot. But I grump and I complain. But there's something nostalgic enough, because I went there when I was a kid, that overrides it. And that's my problem with the Star Wars stuff, is that am I just gravitating on feel-good nostalgia, and is the adult in me not going to really enjoy this? Is the adult in me going to sit there and go, this is a kid's movie. This isn't all that great. This is a movie for kids.
What we're like 3 weeks away, right?
Yeah. My brother said, hey, you want to get together and go to the movie? Bring, you know, Chris and go to the movie. I said, yeah. He goes, well, why don't you come up that weekend, or I'll come down that weekend and, you know, we'll hang out and we'll all go to the movie together. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But then I start, you know, it's like, why am I mean, Star Wars, I was 7 when I 7 or 8 when I saw it. And I loved it. As a child.
Are you going to buy tickets now? Can you buy tickets now?
I don't...
I think you have to, don't you?
I think I have to.
Or you're not going to see it till like...
Or I'm not going to see
March.
I think you might be right. And I'm not a buy a movie ticket 3 weeks in advance guy. It's not a plane ride. Yahoo Sports Radio.